Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Empowered to Change Block Talk Radio, where I am so excited that you decided to tune in on this wonderful Monday night, one that we've never seen and one that we will never see again. I am so excited on tonight to be able to share with you, well, what I intended to share with you, praise God, but God knows best. And so I'm a little heartbroken. I was going to read a portion of my book today, but praise God, he wants me to do it at another time. So amen. I have to be obedient and share what he tells me to share. But I'm still excited because I have the opportunity to share his goodness and to share his amazing, amazing works. And I want to make sure that I always, always, always start out by thanking those of you that may be tuning in for the very first time. My name is Leah Killings, Dr. Happy, whatever you call me a child of God. I'm so excited that you decided to log in or dial in or however you got here to hear an inspiring word. God allows us to be able to encourage, to educate, and to empower. Now, we do this by sharing an encouraging word, and so we know that God's word is encouraging no matter what you hear. Amen. Even when it's a rebuke, nevertheless, it is encouraging because he wants us to be better. And then he wants us to educate ourselves. He wants us to know his word. He wants us to be able to take the things that he shares with us each time that we have an opportunity to hear his word and learn from it. And so if there's something that you hear tonight, it may not be something brand new, but if it is something new or something that is piquing your spirit, write it down so that you can go back and get more understanding about it. So that's how you educate yourself about the word. And then make the necessary changes and be empowered to make those changes. And then when God gives you the grace and the mercy to get those things changed, be empowered to share it with someone else, because there's no doubt that someone needs it too. And so, again, we are excited that you decided to tune in to be encouraged, to be educated, and to be empowered. Now, for those of you next week, and I'll have a wonderful guest on, to celebrate 10 years. Can you believe that? 10 years we've been in this thing. And I am so grateful because I could be doing something totally else. But God has blessed me to be able to do this thing for 10 years. And to be able to do it with grace and to be able to do it even when I didn't feel good, even when I didn't know what I was doing or what I was saying, God was always here and you were here with me, whether it was 2 weeks, 2 years, 2 months, or the whole 10 years. Amen. I'm grateful for you. And so I will always acknowledge you and call you out. And so I thank you because you keep me encouraged. You keep me empowered to do what I need to do to continue to educate myself, so that I can stand on the word of God and share his word with clean hands and a pure heart. And I thank you for holding me accountable for that. And so I thank you. Now, I always, always, always have to call these two people by name, and that's Jesse and Tammy Store, because without them, I wouldn't have known this platform was for me. And then they pushed me and told me to do it, and I jumped in and I did it. And I'm so grateful that God blessed them to be able to be pioneers in this vein. And they, too, are still in this vein. They've done it a lot longer than I have. But I'm grateful that they brought me on board and pushed me and said that you can do this. And praise God, have supported me the whole 10 years. And so I will always, always, always give a major shout out to them, because praise God, without them, I wouldn't have known this was a platform for me. So now the biggest praise, after we thank all the new listeners, after we thank those that have been continuously listening over the years, and the wonderful power couple, Tammy and Jesse Store, we have to give God his praise. And so we always start with an upbeat song, get us in the mood, at least it gets me in the mood, and then I thank each of you, and then we go to God, and then we start our lesson. So dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, thanking you for your wonderful blessings. We thank you, Father, for just giving us life and allowing us to live another day, to be able to open our eyes and just see the beauty of knowing that we are still alive, that we have the use of our limbs, that we can do the different things that we accomplished on today. And even the things that we didn't complete today, Father, we thank you that we attempted and had the abilities to attempt to do it. So, Father, we thank you for allowing us to be able to bring a smile or put a smile on someone's face, because we were able to do what you told us to do. And that was to just smile, or to call and say hello or I love you, or to be able to just acknowledge someone and they're going and they're coming. Father, we just thank you that you give us that opportunity, because not everybody has that opportunity. We watch the news and we see so many things that are going on in the system that are just insanely crazy. And we just don't know how some people exist without you. It puzzles me. But I thank you that I know you. And I thank you that the men and women that are logged in on this hour will get a word or will get an encouraging word, not just going this information, but revelation, that they will use that word and do what it is that you've called for us all to do, and that is to go out and to seek the lost and bring them closer to you, so that they know, too, that you are the source, not just a resource. You are the source. So, Father, again, remove me as you begin to empower me to share this word and not allow anyone, including myself, Father, to be distracted by the way my voice sounds. But nevertheless, I thank you for, again, allowing me to have this opportunity to divide your word and to talk about a topic that I kind of hold dear to my heart, only because you delivered me from it so many years ago. And so I thank you. And so I pray, Father, that someone will be able to be inspired to be not afraid and walk in your love and your kindness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Well, if you're just now tuning in, like I said, this is Leah Killings, Dr. Happy, whatever you call me. Call me a child of God. I'm excited on tonight to be able to share an empowering topic. One, because, praise God, and I didn't say that I normally say in my prayers that I'm grateful for his word. I'm grateful for his word because his word is the roadmap that helped me get to this place of deliverance. I thank God for the Holy Spirit that continues to keep me fueled, to keep me motivated, to keep me pushing, to keep me fighting when I need to fight, to make sure that I understand why the word is significant. And then most importantly, to show me how the blood, without Jesus' blood, without those stripes, without those bruises, without those tears that were shed for us, Lord have mercy, we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't have an opportunity to have a personal relationship with him. We wouldn't have an opportunity to stand against the foe that we will talk about on tonight. And so the month of October, for those of you that tune in on a regular basis, know that I tried to dedicate the month of October to learning about the adversary and why it is important for us to know about the adversary, not because we just want to know about the devil, but we want to know about his tactics. We want to know about his schemes. We want to know about the things that he does in the middle of the night when we're not really thinking about his schemes and his plans, what he's doing to set us up to make sure that our day doesn't go as well as we, quote unquote, have outlined it. I want to make sure that we have an understanding that it's not anything that we're doing that prevents the enemy from attacking us. It is because we serve a God that looks high and looks low, and that a name that is above every name that we worship and that we call out is the reason why we're able to have the power and the authority that we have over him. And so unless we know that, unless we understand that, there's no way for us to win. There's no way for us to understand how to get around his tactics and his maneuvers and his fiery darts that he throws, as the word says, to prevent us from moving forward. And so on tonight, last week, I want to make sure that we address that. We talked about examining ourselves. And so normally when I do a series, if I ever do one, which I don't do many, because I don't like doing cliffhangers, I like giving information. And then if you tuned in today, I want you to have the information today, because tomorrow's not promised. And so I want to make sure that you have a beginning, a middle, and an end the way God designed it, so that you're not having this cliffhanger to wait and then you miss it because you didn't get to dial in. So every lesson will have a beginning, a middle, and an end. But we do try to make sure that they're coordinated. And so last week we talked about why it's important for us to examine ourselves, and why when we examine ourselves, then we find the loopholes and the doors and the windows that we leave open that will allow Satan to have havoc in our lives. Many times we give him too much credit. It's not even him, it's us. We are doing things that are outside of the will of God that allows consequences to come in our lives. They're not necessarily from the devil. It's consequences. And so we have to examine ourselves and examine ourselves on a daily basis, not just because somebody said you got a nasty attitude. You know when you have a nasty attitude. You know when you're doing things that are lustfully minded. You know when you're doing things that are outside of your spending environment that's causing havoc in your relationships. You know all of these things that you're doing that's outside of the will of God that's going to cause the enemy a platform to come in. But no doubt you're going to have to deal with the sins because that's the way God has it set up. But today we're going to focus mainly on the enemy himself. And so I prayed about it and I asked God, how far do we go? Because we all know that he is cunning and he is conniving and he is very deceitful. And many times when we think we just about got him, amen, he will get us because, again, our power, we have no power with the enemy. We only have what we have, the authority and power through Jesus. And so we have to make sure that we acknowledge that first and foremost. And as long as we stand on the rock, amen, he can't knock us down. But nevertheless, I want to talk mainly about a topic of where does it come from? Where does the anxiety of even studying him come from? And so I can only speak for myself. And so when I think back to my earliest thought of the enemy probably was the view of him being a monster. And I think even as a kid, me and my sister used to watch, I don't know many of you know this show, it was a TV program that used to come on in Minnesota. It used to come on at midnight. It's scary enough. My parents would let us stay up to midnight. We were 5, 6, amen. We would stay up just late to watch the show. Sometimes they let us go to bed and then wake us up. But nevertheless, it was spooky and it was gory and the music and it had the little smoke and the casket would open. And then, of course, you know, whatever feature movie was on would come out of this coffin. And so, of course, growing up, that's what I visualized as being scary. The mummy, the Frankenstein, the werewolf, all of these visions that were planting seeds that I didn't know, my parents probably didn't know, that were planting seeds that would prevent moving forward in life. And so it's so interesting when we talk about train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart. That applies in so many avenues that we don't really think about. So we have to be mindful when we let our children see things and do things before they're ready and mature enough for it. Now, I'm not blaming my parents for my walk on the dark side, but nevertheless, the seeds was planted. And so in the midst of all of that, because, amen, they did what they knew what they could do, I did have a understanding because we started going to church. And so now I already have this mindset that the devil is spooky and dark and only comes at night. And then unfortunately, I don't know if my sister's listening, but if she remembers, we used to have this red nightlight and why we had a red nightlight and we had dark green carpet. So it looked like blood was, oh, amen. But I can just remember all these visions and every night going to bed with that light and then now learning about the devil and church and how if we sin, we'd have to go to hell and maggots and dark dungeons. Can you see why as an adult I was still freaked out about the devil and that he would visit me at night? And the more and the closer I got to the things of God, the more that darkness, the more the enemy said that foolishness to make me not want to know more about him. And unfortunately, many of us, whether we're honest or not, you know, I'm transparent, so I'm going to tell all my stuff. It don't matter. But how many of us are really still scared of the devil? How many of us are still scared to be in a dark room? We run and turn the light on because we think somebody's inside. Well, that is a taught behavior to believe the darkness associates with evil. But that's what we've become, and that light is bright and white. Now, mind you, we do sing quite a song that we talk about lily of the valley and bright as the morning star. Now, yes, Jesus is bright, and I don't want to knock that. But at the same time, we have to put things in perspective. And sometimes for a child or for somebody that's young in the understanding of the word, we take those words literally. And the enemy knows that because we're not enlightened, because nobody's really preaching about it and nobody's really telling it. So how do we really know that the devil can be in the brightest of light? He could be sitting next to you in church. And I regress. But back to my story. So maybe around 11 is when I really got a better understanding. At least I believe that's when God kind of touched my heart to let me know that I was different and that I was probably going to have some type of leadership in ministry because the word came really easy for me. And so I knew the difference between right and wrong, and I took the word literally. I thought that every time I did do something wrong that my name was being erased out of the book of life. And so it was funny, me and my sister were laughing this week because I told them I really believe when I got to college that I was just on the last, my first name only has four letters, that I was on the last L. So I had to keep it together because at any moment the sky could open and Jesus was going to come back and I was going to be caught listening to secular music, or I was not going to have the right outfit on, or whatever the situation was, that I was not going to be right and that my name was not going to be in the book of life. And so I stayed as true as I could with Tayman. I still had my fun, don't get me twisted. But I was very judgmental. I guess that's the best way to say it, because I looked through the eyes of you're going to hell, because that's what was inputted in me. And I believed that wholeheartedly because I had been so prone to seeing things in the dark and knowing that things happen in the dark and at the night. And so that was the devil's playground. And so I was messed up by seeing The Exorcist and then seeing demonic type films during that time, that I just knew that, oh, if I was just, I had too much alcohol, amen, that, you know, my head was going to spin and I was going to vomit green things that came from that movie. And so it perpetuated a life that I was constantly afraid. And so the more I wanted to learn about God and the more that I wanted to pursue, I believe the assignment he had for me, the more the enemy poured in that this was my life too, that I was going to have to deal with people and things, and even some of myself would come out like that. And so I started having dreams, and so I was afraid. And so I started reading scriptures that had to deal a lot with condemnation and how God would punish. And so I remember when I completed college, I went to a church in Rome, Georgia, and a minister said to me, he's like, see, every time we ask you to read a scripture, all your scriptures have to do with damnation. What about God's grace? And I'm like, yeah, but, you know, we're wicked people. And I could tell you all the scriptures. We're a wicked generation. And the sky's going to part. And he's like, no. And he sat me down and he shared with me all these scriptures about God's grace and God's mercy. And one in particular he gave me was 2 Timothy 1:7, that God has not given me the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And as much as I can be honest with myself, I knew that scripture backward and forward, but I didn't believe it. And it wasn't until 20 years later that I really developed an understanding that most of them scriptures that I was reading, I didn't really believe. And it's unfortunate in how I talk to so many people now that sometimes we believe the word, but we really don't believe the word. And it's unfortunate that the enemy knows that better than we do, because we'll take some of the scriptures like I was doing, and I was adamant about, and I'd preach them, you know, fire and brimstone with the rest of them. You're going to hell because this and that. But then I was no better because I was scared to turn the light off because I didn't believe Jesus said that he was going to save me, that he was going to never leave me nor forsake me, because if I turned the light off, amen, it was open season to every ghoul and goblin. And so we have to check ourselves. Do we really believe the word? Are we only believing and picking and choosing which scriptures we want to believe? When we say, or what this gentleman, bless his heart, he didn't realize, and I don't know if I'll ever have the opportunity to thank him for planting those seeds, but I'm grateful that someone came and nurtured them and watered them. But nevertheless, the scripture, one of the scriptures that he gave me was John 14:6. Jesus said, and it's so encouraging, these last few days I've been actually reading my Bible, at actually reading the ones with the red. Amen. So I know that Jesus actually said, and I thought about them like, Lord, so many of us, especially us new generation people, you know, we read our Bibles on our phones, we read our Bibles on these apps, and they don't have the color distinction. And so we don't know unless we're really studying, and actually it says, Jesus says, and if we're really studying to rightly divide the word, to divide the word of truth, do we really know if it's Jesus saying it or not? But nevertheless, this is in red. It says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So if no one comes to the Father but by him, and I knew I gave my life to Christ, then I should have known that. I shouldn't have been afraid. And then I like the scripture that says John 16:13, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth, and he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he speaks, and he will disclose to you what is to come. And then John 14:16 says, the Spirit of truth, who the world could not receive because it does not see him nor know him, but you know him because he abides in you and will be with you. Now, if I had known that, really known that in my knowing, I don't think that I would have been in my late 40s afraid to walk in my calling, because the enemy had made me believe so much that I wasn't gifted or I wasn't really saved. And amen. So why is the enemy so persuasive? Well, it has to go back to, you know, how he was originally created and where he came from. Now, I was watching quite a few documentaries on, you know, their different takes, and even going to seminary school, it's interesting how different philosophers or different theologians have different thought processes, if you will, because it's not really laid out like A, B, C, or an outline that we would prefer. You have to read certain scriptures to kind of get the full picture, exactly how, I wouldn't even say exactly, to have a better understanding of how that whole story kind of laid out. But nevertheless, what we do know from going back to the beginning, and that's why I love the beginning, excuse me, when we go to the Word and we go to the beginning, one of the things that I think that I love that was pointed out was, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and in all the days, it said, and God said, let there be. And then it says, and in the evening and the morning was the first day. Well, it went through quite a few of those days. As one of my mentors says, I have to get a fresh sip of water. But on the fifth day, going into the sixth day, instead of saying God and God said, it said God said, let us. So many people believe that when Jesus said, God said, let us, he had created his heavenly kingdom where the angels and all of the people that he had, you know, his posse was with him, was created at that time. But some theologians believe that they were there long before that as well. But again, we're not here to criticize the word or make us try to figure out what he actually meant. We're here just to find out the few little things that God wants us to find out within this hour. But what I would like for us to focus on mainly is that we know before we were created, Satan was here. And he was a beautiful angel, and that was specified in the word. Now, where all these scriptures lie, I'll share with you some of them because I don't want to spend too much time on the enemy. I want to spend more time on what we can do outside of the realm of what God created him for. But nevertheless, he was a beautiful angel, and his name was called Lucifer. He was a cherubim. And so one of the documentaries that I was saying that I watched, one of the questions was, if God created Satan, how did he create him to be evil? And the answer was he didn't create evil. He created free choice. And because he created free choice, and I love his explanation, he said that it had to have been at a distance, because even Moses, God had to cover his glory. So anything that was that close to God had to line up, you would have to believe. And so he had to be still far enough in the kingdom that he could make his own decision of whether he wanted to be obedient or not. Well, because of Satan's beauty and because of his grandeur, he got beside himself. And so I'm using words, my words. I'm not using the actual words, but nevertheless, I'm going to give you the scriptures for you to look up for yourself. But nevertheless, he got beside himself. And because God gave us all free reign and free choices, he decided to make that choice. And so when we see him or see his effects is in the garden back in Genesis when he gave Adam and Eve the opportunity to choose their free freedom of choice. Now, the only reason why I bring them up is because I think it's relevant for us today. And so I like the fact that God did give details on how that played out and how it goes to verse of chapter 3 that I want to highlight, where he asked, and the Lord called unto Adam and said, "Where art thou?" And he said, "I heard their voice in the garden. I was afraid." Now, all the other times in this, they never talked about fear. But nevertheless, I was afraid. I was afraid, and because I was naked, never talked about being naked, I hid, never talked about hiding. And he said, "Who told thee that thou was naked?" That was very important to me when I went through my deliverance. When she asked the question, where did this come from? Where did this fear come from? And so you have to find the root of where your fear or where the understanding of why you don't want to understand certain things and why it's hard for us to believe certain things about the word. We have to ask ourselves, where did that come from? And so when God had never told them those things, they had to be reminded. And that's what she reminded of me and how I was able to come to a deliverance of understanding. And, no, I don't have to believe what the enemy says about me. I have to believe what the word says about me. And I think at that point is when I had to change my whole outlook on how I viewed the word. Because at that point, I believed that God did not give me the spirit of fear, power, but love and a sound mind, but I was still afraid. So why was I not believing that scripture? So I had to go back and read the scripture again. God did not give me the spirit of fear, just as he didn't give it to Adam, just as he hasn't given it to you or any of us listening. He gave us power, love, and a sound mind. And not only that, I go to my Luke 10 and 19. Jesus said that he, because of all the things that he went through, he gave us the authority and the power to trample on scorpions and serpents and every evil thing. Why is it then, are we afraid to talk about the enemy? As I said last week, we can talk about Jeffrey Dahmer. We can talk about some of the most heinous people in the world. And what were they led by? They were led by an evil spirit, a devil. But we can talk about them freely and not be afraid. Why is it that we can't talk about the enemy? Well, one of the things that I had to walk through when I walked through my deliverance was when she asked me, she said, "Well, what is your view? What is your understanding? What does the devil look like?" And of course, I went with what most people say. He's a monster. He's ugly. And she said, "How come he can't look like a muscle-bound man with his face in the sand? How come he can't be Denzel Washington? How come he can't be the brother sitting next to you? How come he can't be disguised as you somewhere? How do we know what he looks like? Have we read through the scripture, or are we just going by what the world says?" Are we allowing the world to tell us and to paint their view of the image of who we're supposed to believe who the enemy is when we have the word that explains it to us? And so next week we're going to talk a lot more about fear, and I have my little fear doctor coming on, and she's going to give us a little bit more insight about fear. But what I want is the enemy himself, but us. Why are we afraid to talk about the devil? I told quite a few people that God blessed me to write a book, Enticed and Entangled by Satan. And like I said, I wanted to read some parts of it today, but he told me not today. But nevertheless, every time I share that with you, they're like, yeah, I don't know if I could read that book. And I'm like, why? And it's like, do you think that I wanted to talk about Satan like that? Because you want to write a full book? But the way God gave it to me was to help people understand how he enables, how he entices, how he entangles, how he equips himself to use you to do certain things for him without your knowledge because you're ignorant of the word. The Bible says that he wants us to be alert and to be sober-minded. But we don't believe the word because we only believe what we want to believe. We want to believe that the devil is spooky and that he'll get me if I learn about him like I did. And I had to learn that that was so far from the truth. God said that he would not have us to be ignorant. Our adversary, he speaks to whom he can devour. And why is he devouring? Because you don't know. It's almost like they said, I was watching some commercial about, I think it was the Ring or one of them security systems, and how many people don't use them because they don't believe in them until you get robbed. Well, sometimes we just have to use wisdom. And many times we're not using wisdom. Now, if we leave if we leave the car open, the car door open and leave the car running, if somebody's inside when we're inside, can we really pretend we're not afraid at that point? Well, yeah, because we've left the door open for the enemy to come in. But if I know that I locked the door and there's no evidence laying on the seat that would invite anyone to try to get into my car, and I pray and believe God has covered me for the day, you can believe I'm going to unlock that door, sit down, and believe God. And I'm going to still use wisdom and look behind and praise God before I get in. But I believe and trust because I believe the word that he will never leave me nor forsake. He is my covering. He is my shield. He is my buckler. Amen. But if I don't know the word, how can I stand through? Yet that's why I'm scared to talk about the enemy, why I'm scared to read my Bible. Are you kidding me? No, that is unacceptable, and we need to change that. So how do we change that? Well, I'm grateful that God has given me an opportunity to share with you this wonderful article I read, and it's Satan, 8 ways that Satan uses to keep us out of our Bible. And I thought, oh, wow, that's perfect, to keep us from our Bible. Now, I could have stressed or allowed God to let me stress on focusing on him, but he's not worthy to really keep all the focus on him. But it's mainly on us. What do we need to do to let him know that he has no power over us? I can say the devil's name. It used to be, what was that movie? Where you couldn't say his name 3 times. Beetlejuice. And how if you said his name, or the other movie was Candyman and all that crazy stuff, and we're scared. But then we won't say Jesus' name either. We won't say it in Jesus' name over our food. We won't say, thank you, Lord, for waking us up in Jesus' name. We won't say, Lord, cover us for the rest of our day in Jesus' name. But we are making a point to not say the most. We got to do better. We got to do better. If you're not paying attention to the news and they're talking about nuclear wars and they're talking about just candidly stuff that's just not right, think. Those of us that know the word, it is high time that we stop hiding behind the Bible and claiming that we're Christians and we're not telling anybody about the word. What are we afraid of? Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Don't allow him to allow fear to puzzle you or paralyze you from doing your assignment. Your assignment can still be on the job you're on. for sharing the word with somebody. I watched the movie, and I thought, wow, he's going overboard. But at the end of the day, she gave her life to Christ on the airplane. And I thought, wow, Lord, when was the last time I was on an airplane and the person that's sitting next to me, was I praying for them or was I praying that they didn't bother me so I could sleep? Saints, we got to do better. We got to do better. At the grocery store when we're standing in line or at the doctor's office when we're, do you know Jesus? I mean, there's so many ways that we can bring the message through. It doesn't have to be the old way. Are you prepared for Jehovah's return? Because if you're not, you're going to hell. There's so many nice and kind and fun ways to invite people to Christ. Find them because he is coming. And all those years as a kid, it's getting closer and closer that that sky is going to open. But that sky may not open for you because it could be COVID or it could be a heart attack or it could be anything that you meet your maker. It doesn't have to be because Jesus is coming back. You just got to be ready when it's your turn. And if you're not ready, amen, if there's people in your family that you could have said something to, just parted your lips. Baby, do you know that that is not pleasing in the eyes of God? We need to get right so that we're right. Now, mind you, God knows that we're all going to make mistakes and that we are not going to be perfect people. I mean, even I like reading that Satan was kind of developed in a perfect, you know, position and posture. But even he couldn't appreciate that. So praise God. God knows. He knows that the enemy is on loose and that he's trying to sabotage us so we'll go to hell with him. But he knows. He knows. If he keep us out of this word, amen. I like the fact that, that the Bible said when the enemy attempted Jesus, he said, it is written, man is to live by every word that God speaks. Do you hear that? Man is to live by every word that God speaks. So if we're to live by the word that God speaks, we got to read it. If Jesus said that to Satan, what are we saying to him? Are we just in agreement? Amen? So what is keeping us from opening our Bible? Excuse me. I didn't talk this lot and over the weekend, as you can tell. Amen. It's a little congested. Anyway, are we allowing our phones, social media, video games, movies, Netflix, YouTube, TikTok, are we allowing those things to distract us from really reading the word? And are we allowing those things to allow Satan to plant seeds to distract us from even wanting to read the word? Oh, you got enough in you. Or you'll see a commercial, and it's from the Latter-day Saints. And they put a scripture. Oh, yeah, I know that scripture. Oh, thank you, Lord. I got my word in for today. Satan will use those tactics to fool you. You need to open up your word, whether it's on your phone, on your tablet, whatever. Get in the word, Saints. Don't allow this world system to distract you. Number two. We can be so busy and caught up with school events and work events and club events and sports events, schedules and oh, just all the stuff that we have to do, grocery shopping and oh Lord, I'm too tired. You know, I'm tired now. Oh, it feels good. I'm gonna just go lay down. Saints, what if Jesus laid down? I mean, for real. Could you imagine? I'm going to take an off day. We cannot be too busy for the things of God. Or how about this one? Bored. Okay, Lord, I got the Bible. I have this devotion, but I already know this. I remember a lady told me that it was John 3:16. No, it was the Lord's Prayer. That it was too simple. I was like, huh? And she said, yeah, people have made a mockery out of it. And she said, it's everywhere. She said, it's not as effective. That was the word. It's not as effective as it needs to be. And I'm like, according to who? And she said, no. She said, you know, I went to Catholic school, read it all the time. It's just not effective. And so I asked her, what does it mean to you? And she's like, nothing. Read it again. And let's break it down and have a better understanding. And so the more she kind of personalized it, she understood the effectiveness of it. It doesn't matter. I mean, sometimes when I read things that I've read over and over again, my question, instead of saying that I'm bored reading the same scripture, Lord, is what do you want me to have from this time? What can I be doing differently? Or how can I use it to encourage someone else? I mean, church, we use too many excuses for the world system that prevents us from believing the word. We have to believe it all, not some of it, not part of it, all of it. I like that the next one says, the lesser works with devotion. It's all, some of it's good, but not all of it's good. I remember the church that I went to, we had a lot of classes, and it was the coolest thing because we provided pretty much a smorgasbord where people could, you know, no matter where you were in your walk, you could take classes. And I remember I happened to be doing registration, and a lady was going through class. She said, nope, not that. Mm-hmm. I'm too advanced for that. And I laughed, and she said, why is that funny? I said, sounds like you need to be a teacher. If you, all these you advanced, and she said, girl, you crazy. I said, no, I'm serious. If these are all too advanced for you, then you should be teaching. Saints, we can't think that we're over. How do we do that? I know that a girlfriend called me once, and she said that she wanted to do this program, and she said, but I just don't feel qualified. And I was like, what do you mean? She's like, because there's all these doctors and bishops and apostles, and they throw their names around, and she said, I just don't feel like I'm adequate or I could, you know, keep up with them. And I said, sweetheart, it's so sad that we've allowed titles to make ourselves seem more pumped up, think more highly of ourselves than we ought to. And so we leave these little things. How can anything in the word be little? Because in the heart of a major accident or something that's really devastating, Jesus wept. Amen. If that's the only scripture you could think of, amen. That scripture is not beneath me. Jesus wept. If that's all I can think of, is Jesus. What? Saying, come on. We can't think more highly of ourselves than we ought to. The enemy's job is to make us believe this foolishness. It's why for years I believed that Jesus did not give me the spirit of fear. But you turn a light off, I would have jumped you. Like, seriously, you know I'm scared of the dark. Don't do that. Because, you know, they didn't know what I knew. I knew the devil was after me, and he was going to come out in the dark, and you better not turn the light off on me. Scared. And I knew the word, scared. Quoting scripture, scared. Come on, saints. We've got to believe what God says. The next one, unbelief. My thing, unbelief in the reliance of his power and his sufficiency. We gotta believe. That's why I could do this broadcast. I could do this broadcast from the little bit, because I know that he's gonna give me the strength to do what I need to do. Because I've seen and read too many stories where that thorn was in the side and they still did what they were supposed to do. Jonah was in the whale and he was vomited out and he still would do. Come on, Noah and all the people talking about. Can you imagine what that must have been like? It never rained ever. And he's building a ark that's probably the size of 2 or 3 football fields. Are you kidding me? Who would not laugh at somebody doing that or talk about them, make fun of them and their family? We got to do what we got to do. Amen. And do what God called us to do and believe the word. They didn't even have a Bible printed before them. They didn't have the resources that we have. They, again, go to Google, on our phone, on our arms. Amen. We can look at our wristwatch and get a scripture. Okay. The next one, misleading you to think on other things works better. Now, I have watched a couple movies over the weekend, and I am amazed at how many people will tell you that you need other things to help you, you know, along with the word. Read the Bible, but, you know, if you drink this juice or if you take these, you use this other energy. Satan is slick and cunning. I mean, we laugh at the story of Adam and Eve now, but there's many of us eating fruit that's toxic. Many of us. Oh, am I running out of time? Okay, another one is keeping the things. I hear you, baby. She says spring water. Amen. Right. And I don't even want to go down that road about the people with the cloths and all. Because, amen, wherever your feet, your faith lies, your faith lies. But I believe the word. Amen. Keep you only reading and but you never, like, meditate on it or memorize it. Like I said, John 15:5 is my scripture. Why? Not because I read it and it was cool. Because I knew without a shadow of a doubt that I was trying to be divine. And I knew was doing things and the fruit wasn't representing what I was living. And I'm like, Lord, this got to turn around. And it was like, if you let me be divine and you be in right position being the branch, you'll bear much fruit. Your fruit will remain. Because you can't do nothing without me anyway. Like, amen, that's my scripture. And I learned it, and I meditate on it, and there ain't no way you can show me that scripture that I don't know it. I know that scripture. That's mine. I can say it. I can speak it. I can say it backwards. I can write it. I can mix it in any prayer that I need to have it in because I know he's divine. And I know the whole part of that scripture where it talks about he takes care of his vine. And he prunes off the leaves. I remember I did a demonstration at a class. I had a plant that I used to have in this pot. I used to keep in my window. And sometimes I took care of it and sometimes I didn't. And so, praise God, it got to be where I didn't do it on purpose because when I knew I had a speaking engagement, I could take it. And then while I was talking to the people, I could tell them, you know, this plant was something that I really liked. And sometimes, you know, I overwater it and sometimes, you know, the brown leaves, and so I picked the things off. And then by the time I finished pruning it and turned around and then, you know, push the leaves, the little vines and have it all pretty, they're like, oh, wow, that's you. I'm like, yeah, that's what God does to us. And they're like, wow. See, I made that my scripture because I meditate on it, I memorize it, I made it mine. You have to find those scriptures that you need. Now, granted, I did not give you the spirit of fear, power, love, and a sound mind. I probably could have meditated a little bit more on that and got a better understanding because now I understand his love. And you better believe I have a sound, disciplined mind. And when God says move, I move. It was funny. I was telling my daughter today there's another class that I really want to take on being able to interpret dreams. And I got my card out and was registering, and the Holy Spirit said, nope. And I was like, no. Oh, my God, I can't get this about, and it's only $40. I can afford that. And he's like, nope. Did you read it? And I was like, And so I'm so grateful that me and the Lord can have conversations like that because I talk to him on a regular basis like that. And so I was like, well, no. So I thought, okay. So I clicked out of the little box, and I went and I read it. And I was like, okay, Lord, I read it. And I said, can I register now? And he's like, nope. I'm like, Lord, but this is good. I mean, it'll help me. And did you finish the last class you took? And it was just that clear. Did you finish the last class you took? And I was like, no. And it's like, finish that one, and then we'll talk about this one. And it's like, why is it a rush to do this today? You just found it. Wait. Ask me. Are you being divine again? And I was like, you're right, Lord. I repent. So I put that card back in my wallet. I got other stuff I need to be paying for anyway. And it's like, thanks, we got to be obedient to the things of God and not allow the enemy to rush us to judgment. Because, of course, the enemy, that ain't God. He wouldn't tell you not to take a Bible class. That That's a Bible class. Girl, you better go ahead and pay for that because that class run out, and then you're going to be sad because you had time to register for the class. And then the Holy Spirit was like, you choose. Who do you want to believe? Choose life or choose death? Go for it. And I left my wallet right where it was. Amen. I know who to listen to because I know the voice now. I don't have to listen to the enemy's voice. Saints, if you don't examine yourself and do self-check with yourself, I promise you, the enemy will deceive you and make you believe things that God did not say. Why? Because you don't read the word. And when you don't read the word, you can't memorize it. When you can't memorize it, you can't study it. When you can't study it, you don't really know it and you don't really believe it. You're going off of what somebody else says. I know it's cool when the pastor says scriptures and we can recite them back, but if we have to say them on our own, we can't. Thanks, we got to do better. We got to do better because Satan knows them. We're going to talk a little bit more about fear and what's preventing us from moving forward in the things of God so that we can erase Satan out of our lives. We don't have to worry about spiritual warfare when it comes because we already know that he's a defeated foe because we have the scriptures to back it up, because we believe in the word, because we've examined ourselves and we know enough about him that he is nothing. He is nothing because Jesus defeated him. Amen. I got to go because you know I could keep talking because I love to talk, but I'm out of time. Definitely not out of talk, but I am out of time. And so please, please, please tune in. We'll have another inspiring word. And I'm going to try to play as much as my granny's song as I can because every praise does belong to him. And I know she's my number one listener. And I'm praise God and thanking God that he blessed her to be 96. And so, amen. We were there to witness that. And so I'm praying that she'll make it a few more years. I know I would like to have a 100-year birthday party. Wouldn't you, granny? Amen. Well, praise God. Hard to change Block Talk Radio. Well, we encourage, educate, and empower all to the glory of God. I pray that you have been blessed and that you have learned something and that you will use the information to better yourself because we want you to always, always start your day with prayer, pray throughout your day, and then to end your day with prayer. God bless you and have a wonderful, wonderful evening. Be blessed.
Let me hear the worshipers!
Yeah.